God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilson, wrapping up The Prophet of Christmas. It has been so rich and full to gain this insight on The Prophet of Christmas from Dr. Wilson over these last few days. But here on the Friday edition, we bring it to a close and also remind you that we're about to bring to a close the opportunity to get this wonderful leather-bound Bible study that we're going to be launching throughout the entire year. Would you like to study with us? Be a part of this literally force of all of us studying the same word, the same time, the same day. Again, if you want me details on this leather-bound Bible study, you can go to our website, tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Or call about getting your copy right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles this morning to Luke's Gospel and chapter 1. Luke's Gospel and chapter 1. We are engaged in a remarkable conclusion to the Christmas season. The praise of Christmas began this last week. I had no intention to bring it over to this week, but God had other ideas, because we soon discovered that when you talk about praising the Lord Jesus Christ and God our Heavenly Father, that actually there is far too much to preach on in an entire year, let alone just two Sundays. But this is a remarkable subject, and we discovered some wonderful things last week that I will just reiterate for you in a moment. I want to read this first of all, Zechariah's song. You're going to find it in Luke's Gospel in chapter 1. These were sung, one could imagine, I guess, with a harp and with other instruments, that they would sing in praise to the Lord. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 67, his father, whose father? John the Baptist. The father of John the Baptist, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. This is what he sang. This is what he said. God put this in his heart because he was talking about things that only God could say. Remember this, folks, this is prophecy. This is somebody inspired by the Holy Spirit and moved by God himself to speak about things that only God could know. Only God could have known these things. This is what he sang. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. As he said through his holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. We were reminded last week that when it comes to this central issue related to the birth of Jesus, the matter of praising him, that praise literally means three things. It means acknowledgement, it means worship, and it means giving thanks. I tried to follow through with what I suggested to you last week. Yesterday morning, we all gathered, our whole family came. It was a wonderful time. We had a house full of people, excepting my younger brother, Murray. He and his wife, three children. He's pastor in Huntsville, Alabama. And being the pastor of a wonderful church like this, it was impossible for him to come and join us because he has responsibilities. And right now, he is probably preaching the Word of God just as I have the privilege, as is my oldest brother in Greenville. What a wonderful blessing that is. So we gathered, most of us, we gathered together. And I said, stop the music. I thought, well, this is what, stop the music, stop the activities. And we gathered together and I read a passage out of Luke and I made a few comments. I promise you it was just a few, folks. My family would have shot me if it hadn't been. And I passed a few comments about the meaning of Christmas and then we prayed together. What did we do? We acknowledged him, we worshiped him, we gave thanks to him, and then we said, start the music. And we had the best Christmas you could just imagine. Went on all day, all day. I mean, last night, late to last night. It was a wonderful time with our family, right there in our home. What is praise? Acknowledgement, worship, giving thanks. Why do we praise? What was Zechariah talking about here? Some people say, why? Why do I need to do this? Folks, all across America yesterday, all across America, there were people, I'm sad to tell you, there were some people that never gave a single thought to praising God at Christmas. I'll guarantee you. We might find it hard to imagine, even here in our beautiful city, in Spartanburg, in Asheville, North Carolina, in Greenville, in Greer, Roebuck, all across the upstate, there were people who met yesterday and had feast and fellowship and never gave one thought to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one. Well, Zechariah here in this prophecy, spoken to in his heart by the Word of God, outlines it for us. There are 10 reasons here. We looked at the first two last week. Why do we praise Him? Number one, because He has come. Just imagine that. God came in the person of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? God came to us. God with us. Emmanuel. That's the meaning of the name of Jesus. God with us. What a remarkable thing. To the Jews, He was the untouchable one, the unreachable one. Couldn't get anywhere near Him. Number two, we can praise Him because He has redeemed in verse 68. He has redeemed His people. I love that word, redeemed there. It means He has saved us. Number three, third reason why we praise God for Jesus Christ, why we ought to stop the music, is because He has raised up. Now, I want you to watch this. This is incredibly exciting. There's a statement made here in verse 69. Look at it with me in your Bible. It says, He has raised up a horn of salvation for us. I don't want anybody to raise their hands. Are there any avid hunters worshiping with us today? I know that there are. Some of my best friends love to get out there in the woods and hunt. We all are familiar with that. Well, we might say, what do you mean we got reason to praise God for Jesus Christ because He raised up the horn? What does that mean? Well, it was a common expression in the Old Testament. It symbolized strength. It was a remarkable statement that they were making. If you go to 2 Samuel, for example, chapter 2 and verse 3, listen to what the prophet said. The Lord is my rock, my fortress. He's my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, watch this, and the horn of my salvation. One of my favorite ladies in Scripture, by the name of Hannah. We love the story about Hannah and Samuel. Hannah said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted up. Now, what does it mean to raise up? What does that mean? See, we got a little problem because both Elizabeth and Zechariah were Levites. Like if you were to say to me, Pastor, of which house are you? I am of the house of Wilton. Well, they would have said, I'm of the house of Levi. Jesus was of the house of David. Bible tells us that. So what happened was that God raised up a king from amongst the kings. All right? What does it mean? What does it mean that He raised up a horn? Why does this give us reason to praise Him? Because when you raise up, according to the Old Testament, number one, you establish something. Have you ever been to someone's house and they've got a little sign outside the house that says, Robbie and Danny Jelly, established. When, Danny? 1953. No, I'm just kidding you. Our household was established 1976. You know, we put that down. We put down when we were established. Watch this, folks. God raised up the horn of our salvation, which means that when Jesus Christ was born, He established the means of our salvation. But to raise up the horn also means to fortify. So not only did He establish it, but He fortified it. He garrisoned it. He made it strong. He made it so strong that it was unbreakable. And number three, it means that He protected it. i.e. us, because this is dealing with God's salvation. So he raised up, what did he do? He raised up the strength of salvation for all people. He established it, he fortified it, and then he protected it. So if God in Christ Jesus raised up this horn, this one that is so strong, it's unbreakable, what does he say? He says, when I'm in the palm of his hand, watch this, nobody can pluck me out of his hand. You see, friends, the issue of my salvation has been settled. It was settled right there in the manger. It was settled right there at the cross. It was settled from before the foundation of the world, because God was acting in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to himself. How did he do it? He raised up the horn of salvation. He established it, he fortified it, he protects it. Number four, why do we praise him? Because he has spoken. Look at verse 70. Bible here says, as he said. Now folks, I want you to just think about this. I want you to think in the context of this scripture. Here was Zechariah of the house of Levi, of the priestly class, somebody who knew all about God, but there was one thing that he understood very clearly. He understood that unless you were the high priest, you didn't stand a month of Sundays to have a conversation with God. God was extremely selective in who he spoke to. God was the untouchable one, the unpronounceable one. You couldn't even say his name because there were no vowels in the name of Jehovah. You couldn't, let alone pronounce his name, you couldn't come into his presence because he was so almighty, he was sovereign, he was so magnificent. And yet when Jesus Christ came and was born, an announcement was made. God spoke to all people. What did the angel say, by the way? The angel said, joy and peace to all mankind. This one is coming to save all people from their sin. Here was the Lord Jesus Christ being born in Bethlehem's manger. God spoke. How did God speak in times past? God spoke in times past through the prophets. We're talking about one right here, Zechariah. Go back and study about Isaiah and Jeremiah, Malachi. Go and look at the boys back in the Old Testament. But in these last days, he has spoken to us, how? Through his Son, according to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. God speaking through his Son. It's an incredible thing, folks. By the way, did you know that you can have a conversation with God made possible through Jesus Christ? Jesus put it like this. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man can come to the Father but by me. And so it is that through Jesus Christ, from the cradle to the cross, the shed blood of the Lamb, I now have access to the Father. God speaks to me. All right, number five. Why do we praise him at Christmas? Because he has delivered us. Now, I want you to look at this. This is a wonderful statement here in verse 71. He said, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. You mean I praise God for Jesus Christ at Christmas because he has delivered me? Yep. From what? He's delivered me from the world. He's delivered me from sin. He's delivered me from all that is the very opposite of all that God is, because God is holy. And this world has become blemished. It has become ruined by the sinfulness of mankind. The Bible says all of creation groans in the presence of Almighty God. So he has delivered us, the lure of the world. I'll guarantee you there's at least one person worshiping with us today, somewhere. You could stand up right now and say, Pastor, I know what you're talking about. The world has ensnared me. The world has ensnared me. I will guarantee you, folks, come this next Friday, I will guarantee you there will be some people in America who will be so drunk they won't even know that it's the new year. But I'll guarantee you this Friday, all it means, the new year is an opportunity to behave immorally, to do whatever they want to do, to go berserk. See, folks, the world tells us that's what we need to do. What does God say to us through Jesus Christ? I have delivered you, which literally means we are rescued from. All right, think about this. Number one, we praise Him because He has come. Number two, because He has redeemed. Number three, because He has raised up. Number four, because He has spoken. Number five, because He has delivered. I am a delivered man. Number six, because He has shown mercy. Now, folks, watch this. This is incredible. Look at verse 72. Zechariah, filled with the Holy Spirit, prophesied and said that this God, through Jesus Christ, has come to show mercy to our fathers. Excuse me? Watch this. And to remember His holy covenant. What do you mean He came to show mercy? Here's Zechariah, under the inspiration of the Spirit, is looking back on what we know as the Abrahamic covenant. Remember in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, God came to Abram and He said, get up and leave and go. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. And in you will all the nations of the world be blessed. What did that mean, folks? This passage is the promise whose fulfillment extends through all Scripture. It's introduced in Genesis chapter 12. It is made in Genesis chapter 15. It is reaffirmed in Genesis chapter 17. It's renewed in Genesis chapter 26 when God came to Isaac and said to him, listen, Isaac, what I said to your daddy stands true for you. What was He talking about? He's shown mercy. This one, through Jesus Christ, is the functional portrait of the mercy of God. Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem's manger, epitomizes the grace of God. You're looking at God's grace when you peer into the manger. That's why we praise Him. It has four elements, folks. This covenant of mercy that He has, the first element is the covenant of seed. Of seed. What did God say to Abraham in Genesis 12? He said, I'm going to bless your seed. I'm going to bless those who come from you. Listen, I got a lot of wonderful gifts this week. I tell you, especially from my children, from my wife, wonderful gifts. My oldest son, Rob, gave me, his brother, Greg, his two grandfathers a very special gift. I can't wait to hang it in my office. Stands about that big, and it's a picture frame. Say, well, it's just a picture frame. No, this is not an ordinary picture frame. It has four pictures in it. It has a passage out of Deuteronomy, and I just summarize. It says that those of the third generation will enter the assembly of God because of those who have come before them, will stand up and be counted for righteousness. He's got a picture of his two grandfathers preaching, black and white pictures when they were young men. He's got a picture of me, Dad, in the middle when I was preaching as a younger man. And then he's got a picture of himself and his brother, Greg, individually, with this statement written across the top. Now, folks, listen to me. Watch me. Watch me. You honor the Lord, God will bless your offspring. They will rise up. And some of you say, but Pastor, what do I do? Mine's making a detour. Keep praying, but don't lose faith. God is at work. I promise you, don't give up. What does this mean? God has shown mercy. It talks about seed. That's the first element. The second is land. In Genesis chapter 12, God will give the land to the people. I believe that for generations, right here in Spartanburg, there are people long gone into the presence of the Lord who claimed this land upon which we stand today for Jesus Christ. The third element pertains to the nation. In Genesis chapter 12, God looked across and He said, I will bless the nations through you. I want to say to you today, on this day after Christmas, that all across America, there are people who are standing up and wishing one another a happy and a blessed Christmas, because Jesus Christ is the reason for the season. And when we stand up and when we bless the name of the Lord, God will bless our seed and He will bless our land and He will bless this nation. And forth, my friends, He will put His divine blessing and protection upon our people. It is the imperative of the cradle. It is the motivation for the cross. I want you to look into the cradle and look into the face of Almighty God, who by virtue of the birth of His Son, Jesus Christ, has shown to us untold mercy. Have we got a reason to praise Him? Most certainly we do. Showing mercy, my friends, means all the blessings that come from the Godhead. And when we peer into the cradle, we see the Father who gives. When we peer into the cradle, we see the Son who gave. When we peer into the cradle, we see the Spirit who guides. And so it is. Here we have in the manger the one who gives and the one who gave and the one who guides. This is the means by which God was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world to Himself. This is why we praise Him. Number 7, we praise Him because He is remembered. Number 8, we praise Him because He is committed. Wish I could get all our attorneys at law up here. The solicitor. I wish we could get members of the police force and sheriff's departments up here to tell us what exactly an oath is. Folks, we understand that concept. Bible tells us here in this passage in verse 73 that He came because of the oath that He swore to our father Abraham, speaking about His unchanging, uncompromising, unbending word. This one who is God. And because He was a God and is a God of commitment, His commitment is therefore binding and it is everlasting. You can take it to the bank. God has done what God says He will do. Friend, let me tell you something. I will let you down in a heartbeat. Your wife will let you down in a heartbeat. Your children will let you down in a heartbeat. God will never let you down. The greatest friend that you will ever have. Why do we praise Him? According to Zechariah's song number 9, because He has rescued us. What did He do when Jesus was born? He reached out. What do we need to do? We need to reach up. Just like Peter in the boat on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus came to him. Peter said, "Lord, can I come to you?" He said, "Come on, Peter." Peter stepped out, got on that water. Miracle. Kept his eyes on the Savior. See, Jesus was there. He was reaching out to him. But Peter became distracted by all the things of life, just like we are. Noticed all the dangers lurking around him, and he began to sink. He turned his face back toward the Savior and said, "Lord, save me." Looked down, and he saw Jesus reaching out. What did Peter have to do? He just had to reach up and take the Savior by the hand. Folks, there's some people here this morning, some worshiping by way of television through the encouraging word, some in a retirement center in that prison right now, in that nursing home. You know that this Jesus who was born came to rescue you. That's what He did. Aren't you tired of running? Aren't you tired of the loneliness? Aren't you tired of the struggle? It's what it's all about, joy and peace. He's rescued us. And then number 10, we praise Him because He has enabled us. I love this, folks. In verse 74, Bible says He came to rescue us from the hand of our enemies. Watch this. And to enable us. You know, I'm so grateful that I'm surrounded here in this beautiful congregation of people by enablers. My wife is my chief enabler. My children, my parents and in-laws, my friends, the ministry team. I got so many people who enable me. Do you know what it means that Jesus was born to be my enabler, folks? Well, the text tells us. Number one, it means that I am enabled to serve Him. That's what He says. Enable us to serve. Can I be quite honest with you? No way I can serve God if I'm not enabled to do so. Jesus was born. He's my enabler. He enables me to serve Him. Number two, he enables me to be set free. To be set free. Look there. I'm able to serve him without fear. Folks, listen to me. There are people all across America today who are bound by fear. You're afraid. Let it go to the Lord. He'll enable you to be set free. You know what he does? He removes the handcuffs. He takes the straps off. He releases the heavy load. He sets us free. Number three, when he enables us to strive. I love this, folks. He enables us to strive in holiness and righteousness. I cannot do that. That word there, to strive. Listen, folks, if God tells me that I'm to live in holiness and righteousness all my days, I got a real problem because I've got a real battle on my hand. How do I do that? I can only do that in him. Listen, don't raise your hands. I know there's at least one person here who has already resolved that this next year you're going to lose 30 pounds. I know you have. Tomorrow you're going to be hungry and you're going to forget about all that resolve. Folks, it is hard to strive in this world, no matter how we look at it. Jesus Christ enables us, watch this, to serve him, to be set free, to strive to be more like him. Do you know him today?
Oh, if you're thinking about it, don't hesitate. Let's talk about it. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online, keyboard to keyboard, as we say, at tewonline.org. That's the website, tewonline.org. Before we get away, perhaps the most important words from our pastor are next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? Why don't you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that Jesus died for me on the cross. Today, I repent of my sin, and by faith, I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name. My friend, I welcome you today into the family of God. This is exciting news.
Wow. If the Lord has spoken to you, either through the pastor in the studio moments ago or a while ago when he was in the pulpit, I pray you wouldn't let this day pass without drawing a line in the sand and saying, I'm in. Let us pray with you and for you. Let us put some resources in your hands that'll help you grow. Call us right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We would love to connect with you.
I thank God for Dr. Don. I remember back in 2002, my dad, Boyce Canup, called me and told me, while listening to Don preach, he gave his heart to God. Then he wrote Don a letter, and Don read it in the service. I prayed for 20 years for my dad. I thank you, Dr. Don, for doing God's will. My dad always wanted to meet you, but his health would not let him get out. He passed away 3 years ago, and he watched Don preach every weekend.